across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans.
Amen, I tell you. Felt like starting with that this morning. America's a great country, and the dire need of our land today is to get back to God. That's the heartthrob of God's people, that America would turn back to the Lord once again. And we're seeing the downgrade of our society, the plunging of our morals in our land today. But I'm glad in the midst of it all, God's got a people. God's got a church, and God's got some saints of God that are holding the banner up and lifting up the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, if America would take the scriptures and chronicles, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The land will not be healed until sins are confessed and forgiven. And that's the scripture, that's the Bible, amen. That's an order that God put it in, and that's the way God operates. He don't look on just the outward thing, but he looks on the heart, and the heart's got to get right with God. Good to be here this morning, July the 4th, Independence Day, great day for our nation, when God seen fit to establish this great nation on the face of the earth to carry forth his name, and to preach the gospel and worship the Lord in liberty and spirit and truth. And I tell you, it's good to be here today. And we thank you for taking time out to listen this morning. And we hope that we can be a blessing and be a help to you today. Hope you enjoyed that this morning. Good to be saved in these days. Don't forget to be with us in church today. Our Sunday school here in Mountain View Baptist begins at 10 o'clock, 10:45 for the worship. Back at 5 for the evening worship, 7 on Wednesday. So we urge you to come be with us throughout the day, throughout the week, and I believe you'll enjoy something from the Word of God today. All right, we're going to pray for your needs this morning. A lot of you needs help and needs prayers, needs an answer from God today, needs a touch from the Lord. And God's always there for his children. When we turn our hearts to him for help, he's always there listening. He knows exactly what we're going through with. And I wish we were living in a world that was perfect, in a world that was free from sin, a world that was free from the influence of Satan, but we're not there. They used to be before Adam came and fell and sinned, and that's the way it was then, but it's not that way now. There's a lot of things we have to endure. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You can rest assured every affliction of God's people will be delivered from, and there's coming a day. We're going to get a new body, and while we're here, God will touch us along the way and help us and heal us and encourage us along the way. So that's good to know that we've got a God that cares. Jesus walked throughout this land, spreading his influence, healing the sick, raising the dead. And we're seeing today his will accomplished with his church and his people here. We're not raising any dead today. And we're not healing any sick today. We can't do it. God can. It's only the Lord that does that. We have no ability there. I can't place my hand on you and make you well. I can't place my hand on your dead body and make you rise again. But God can do all these things. And we're living in the church, the dispensation of grace. God's blessed us with. The church is alive and well, doing the job that she's sent to do. And I want to be a part of that in these last days. So it's good to be here. Let's pray this morning. Father, as we bow in your presence, God, thank you for the day. Privileged, Lord, just to approach your throne room this morning and come boldly to the throne of grace, obtaining mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, we ask you to touch every need this morning, radio land, every heart that's lifted toward heaven this morning, asking for help and for strength and for a touch from you. God, would you hear, answer that prayer according to your will, not ours, but yours. I pray you just have your way. Guide us in the Word of God this morning. Help us to know your perfect will in it, and we'll honor you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to have a couple of songs this morning, and trust that you're making plans now to be in the house of God today with us, and we appreciate seeing you in church this morning. I'm going to have a couple of songs now. Hope it will be a blessing to you as they sing.
Take my tattered garment.
You enjoyed the singing this morning. Hope that was a blessing to your heart. We can't walk without Him, that's for sure. We've got to have the Lord in our life today and enjoy the blessings that He's given us. Romans chapter 1, we're going to turn back there this morning. Romans chapter 1, and I've been burdened by the Lord to bring this from Romans, and I tell you, we're living in the day that it's needed. I don't confess to be an expert or deeply spiritual, but I tell you, I know what the Lord's saying. I know the way our country is facing today, and I know what condition our churches are in this morning, and I'm telling you there's a need for God in this land today, and I don't know, that's sad to be said about America, because she was founded upon the Word of God and Christian principles and Christian morals, and today it's gotten so far away from that in general. Now I'm talking about there's still some people and some churches staying with God. That's the only thing that's holding this thing together. Now this morning, and I want to be saying some more about that here today of our responsibility that we have to the Lord. But in Romans chapter 1, the Bible said, Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, and both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, we talked to you the last couple of Sundays about the marks of apostates in our land today. We're seeing the rising of apostasy in America today, in the world in general, but especially in America, we're seeing that rise of apostasy. We have no excuse for that because America was founded on the Word of God. The first schools of our land had the principal book in that school was the Bible. And the Word of God. They prayed, they read Scripture, and they even turned out for services and churches, revivals that would be in the community. They turned the school out to be in revival. And that was what we was founded on. That's what we were accustomed to having in our country today. But gradually, down through this last century, we're seeing the departure from the things of God. Especially the last 50, 70 years, we're seeing the gradual turning away from the Lord to materialism and things, and the apostasy of our land today, refusing today to recognize God. And now in the land today, you can't even quote Scripture in the school. You cannot do that. Not allowable. You know, you can do all these other things, but you can't have the Bible and the Scripture and the book and the school today. But we're living in that day. We're approaching that. But he's trying to tell them, Paul is trying to tell them, and he's telling us also that in these days, when things are going down, and it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It could be later, but it seems like it's now. And it's going to happen in the days of the coming of the Lord. There's the apostasy is going to rise. There's going to be a coldness swept across the land and in the hearts of men as they turn away from the Lord and turn to the things of this world. But Paul is trying to tell them here, we brought some things out about that. There's some things you better have established in your life as a child of God in these days you are living in today. You're going to you better have the Redeemer established in your life today. The Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of David, and coming the Spirit of holiness. You've got to establish that. If you're going to be able to stand in these last days, there's going to have to be some things established in your heart and in your life. Also, your position has got to be established. We covered that, verses 5 through 8. A position established, our connection by whom? With the Lord. We're connected with Him. And grace has been received. We have received that grace. And apostleship, we've been chosen of the Lord to serve Him in these last days. And you're going to have to have some things nailed down in your life today if you're going to take a stand for Jesus in these last days. And when things happen in our land and in your community and your church and your government, and if you're not established in the faith, there's going to be some failures on our part, on your part, have to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is trying to tell them, and he's trying to tell us also, because we got this word preserved for us today in this generation. We got this word preserved for us. God has preserved it for us that we might establish some things in our hearts today because of our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're part of the church today. Of the living God. I'm talking to God's people this morning. I'm talking to those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that have their sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking to folks like that today. And we better have some things nailed down in our life today. We're seeing a departure from the scriptural and the morals of our other Bible and the scriptures today in our land that was raised on. We're seeing the departure from that this morning. So you better have some things nailed down. If you're going to stand for Jesus in these last days, there's going to have to be some things nailed down in your life today. And so we come down, we covered last Sunday, of course, the scope of it all is to everybody. It's to everybody that's saved, and he's writing to the church in Rome and establishing in their hearts things that they need to know in view of the things that he's going to be talking about in the last part of this chapter this morning. Now, Romans chapter 1 reveals apostasy. It reveals the effects of it and the results of it, apostasy. And he's going to reveal that maybe the next Sunday or two. We're going to see the revelation of what God is talking about and Paul is revealing in his writings here and trying to get that church established. And of course, the Holy Ghost is doing it all. The Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write this letter to the church at Rome and in effect writing to us today that we might know how to stand in the evil days. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth. Now that's very important. Your loins girt about with truth. What is truth? Well, the truth is the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the King James Bible that we have before us today. Preserved truth for this generation today. And we need to accept that and get help from that. So he's establishing some facts because he knows there's things that's coming to pass and that's going to come to pass in the last days that we must have established in our hearts today. And so he's talking about, and we notice his thankfulness. He thanked God for the prayer warriors and that was there, that was praying and seeking the face of God. But he comes down now to Paul in verses 14. I want to look at that this morning. Paul's responsibility to everybody and his responsibility to all. He said, I'm debtor. Paul said, I'm in debt. I'm in debt to some people. I'm in debt to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now, there is our responsibility established by the Apostle Paul and by the Holy Ghost that we are responsible to folks in our land today, folks that we know, to the Greeks, that's to the educated, that's to the elite, you might say. We're debtors to everybody. And then he said also to the barbarians, to those that reject the things of God. We're in debt to them. We owe them something to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and about salvation that's free that comes from God. And so those things have got to be established in our land today, in our hearts today. And he said, I'm debtor both to the Greek and the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now we tend to pander to the wise. Now we'd rather be around them. We'd rather be around the Greek, you know, that are staff. We sort of turn away from the unwise and withdraw from them and to the barbarians, those who reject the things of God. We tend to turn away from them, but they're our responsibility. Paul said, "I'm in debt to them," and we're in debt to them today. We're in debt to the barbarians of our day. We're in debt to the unwise of our day. We're in debt to those that knows not the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe them something. We're in debt because of what the Lord has done to us and because he imparted unto us the privilege to represent him in this sinful world today. And we've got to do that because we're saved by the grace of God. So there's the responsibility imparted to the children of God that we might impart to others around us, and that we're in debt to them. We owe them something. We owe them an answer. We owe them the gospel. And Paul went ahead to state there, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we're not to be ashamed of that same gospel, the gospel of Christ, of death, of the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're debtors to those around us to give the gospel to them and get them to hear the gospel of the Savior, the Son of God, and that brother to witness to them and give them the tracts and to preach to them and teach to them the Word of God. We're debtors. We're in debt to that. And Paul is trying to tell them we've got a responsibility that we might picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and tell them what they need to know about being born again, about being saved by the grace of God. And that's the church's responsibility of today. And I want to say this, my friend, that we better recognize the fact that we got to stick together in this. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And he said, it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's for everybody. It's for everybody that's lost, and the gospel has got to go for, and the church has got the responsibility. You and I have got the responsibility to back the church and support the church and support the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you sitting at home today, you won't go to church. You don't think you have to go to church. You don't think you need to go to church. And those things are not true. You do need to go. You do have to go, because the Lord instituted, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brother, we're seeing that day approaching today, and we've got a responsibility to be a part of that local assembly that's getting the gospel out, sending the gospel out, and being a light in the community, and that folks need to see Jesus and see them get saved by the grace of God. So we've got that responsibility. We must recognize our position in the Lord. We must recognize our redemption in Him. We must recognize our responsibility to the world today to tell them about the grace of God, and tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and tell them about the blood of Jesus that was shed for their sins on Calvary. And so here we find that Paul is trying to tell them that the gospel of Christ is not to be ashamed of. We're to invite folks to the house of God and hear the preaching of the gospel. It's not to be ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God. The only hope they've got is the gospel. The only hope the barbarians have is the gospel. The only hope the unwise have is the gospel. The only hope that sinners have today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because the power of God unto salvation. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we've got to get that out to sinners today, and to tell them the good news that Jesus still saves by the wonderful grace of an almighty God. Listen, friend, the Lord's trying to get us prepared for something ahead of us. And unless this thing changes, brother, there's going to be some dire days ahead of us. There's going to be some trying time for the church of the living God. And brother, our children, our grandchildren, I'm going out to face some sad days ahead. And brother, we've got a responsibility to get the gospel out and see sinners say, the only hope for America today is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only hope today. Well, our time is gone this morning. May God bless you on the next Sunday at this same time. Amen.